Hope you enjoyed part one of our visit with Eric Thomas. Part two is even better. In free agency, they sign an offensive tackle. They sign a guard that can play tackle as well, Cody Ford and Orlando Brown. We talk about Nick Scott at safety. Terrell Basham, who ironically, coached by Joe Burrow's dad, Jimmy Burrow, at Ohio U when he was there as an edge guy. So they got an edge rush. You can never have enough good corners, never have enough good edge rushers. They re-signed Pratt. They re-signed Travion Williams. They re-signed Mike Thomas, Trent Taylor. So they've, you know, some like special teams, role players that are core of the football team. They really attack free agency, 10 to a dozen signings. The fact that they've addressed all these different positions, now they can put themselves at picking number 28, which is you want to pick toward the end of the first round. He had a good year the year before. They can go anywhere, right? I mean, they can go best player they have evaluated on the board. They don't have to try to force feed anything. Do you think that fits for them?
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, one thing that, you know, when the draft comes, it's always a nervous proposition, as you know, because everyone's wondering if they're going to draft the right player. And it's typically based on what a team needs. And I think that it's nice to go into a draft knowing that you don't have to really take a chance on trying to find that perfect left tackle. You can come in and just sort of find what you need. And in my opinion, I think that they've decided they're all in offense. They're all in. The one thing I think we're missing is a piece at the running back position, that explosion. They're drafting so late in the first round. That running back from Alabama, I really like. Oh, boy. Because he not that he's a home run hitter, but he's a guy that you just put the ball in his hand, and he's the instant juice. One thing that we found is that when Ja'Marr Chase is out of the game, they don't have anyone else like that. They don't have anyone else that they can just say, hey, we can throw that guy a bubble screen, and he can juice some things. This running back gives them that, but I think that if they're going to keep Joe Mixon, and it seems like that's what's probably going to happen, even if it's at a reduced rate as far as his salary, if they're going to keep him, you have to have someone who's a change of pace for him. And I think that this kid from Alabama seems to fit that bill. Even if it's not him, I think you got to look at the tight end from Georgia. Big, he sort of serves two purposes because he's so big. He blocks like an offensive lineman. Clearly the guy's a whale of an athlete. But you bring in that and you add him to that offense, I mean, really, I don't know who you're going to guard at that point. But if I'm thinking at where they are, I'm looking to try to add one more dynamic offensive piece. I think it's a luxury to have. And if you can find that if there's a receiver that's there that can add to it, a tight end, running back, I'm taking any one of those. If there's one of those corners that drops down so far, that's still in that first round, I'm getting them. So now you can just sort of, like you said, Dave, they don't have to really plan on going either. They can just look at the whole shopping list and say, whatever's best, that's what we're going for. And it's a true luxury to have.
So, E.T., I agree. Darnell Washington, 6'6", 6'7", 270 pounds. Are you kidding me? What? I mean, he was moving the two-man sled at the combine by himself, and he's making catches. I'm like, this guy, man, he's different, but Mayer, the kid from Northern Kentucky, played his high school ball, went to Notre Dame. That dude doesn't drop a pass, man. That's right. I mean, they got some tight ends. It's going to be interesting to see. But at number 28, you can sit there and say, all right, well, what's a better option? Boy, there was a little bit run made on the tight ends. We're already down to the fifth tight end. But for whatever reason, man, my second or third best corner still there. I gotta go there. You know, I mean, it's that kind of game you play a little bit, right?
That's right. They really sit in the catbird seat because they fill so many gaps with free agency, which is what they needed to do. I mean, we knew that it was going to be a free agency frenzy on particularly the guys that we had. That was Jesse Bates and Von Bell. We knew that those guys were going to be gone, and they were. But I think the fact that now they went and refilled those gaps with quality players, now it's time to say, hey, what can we do as far as trying to make sure we get really the best player that can help our franchise going forward, that we really don't have to be pressed to come in and have him start right now. He can just contribute. If the tight end comes in, will he start? I don't know. He's gonna press for it. But I think, again, he gives you that extra offensive lineman that you can run, that gives a chance to run the ball a little more effectively. I think when you put him, You put 6'7" in the middle of the field, running down the middle of the field. I mean, the safeties are going to be paying attention. If you have you have Jamar Chase and T. Higgins on outside of that, they're going to be looking at the tight end running down the middle and not the guy so much outside. So it's such an advantage for them for what they've put together. I'm really excited to see how it all comes together and what it turns out to be.
And I'm telling you, E.T., 6'7" down the middle, it's like you could definitely find that target. You know, he's not going to get lost anywhere. Well,
you look at his wingspan and how big he is. This is a target that Joe Burrow just cannot miss.
Right.
And I think that when you look at how many times he just he used Hayden Hurst running down the middle of the field last year, you give him a guy like this, same type of athlete, bigger, it just sort of – I mean, he can wear this thing out for 10 years going forward, just a tight end pop. So – it'll be fun to see. I mean, I'm excited for the franchise and then the direction that they're going.
And a coach like yourself, James Casey, the tight end coach, CJ Uzama, coached by James Casey, gets a big deal. With Hayden Hurst comes in, prove it 1-year deal, coached by James Casey, gets a big deal with Carolina Panthers. This guy develops people. I mean, even if they're veteran players, he develops them. I mean, he's a hell of a coach. There's no question about it. I know you're a student of the game, E.T. You watch a lot of college football. Are there any corners that caught your eye? I mean, the guys they're talking about, this Witherspoon kid from Illinois looks fantastic. Christian Gonzalez from Oregon, Joey Porter Jr., Penn State. I saw in a mock draft here recently, they had the Bengals taking the kid Banks out of Maryland. Have you seen any of these guys, or is it that caught your eye or no?
Well, you know, I'm a huge combine guy. You know, when they show the combine, I always watch it. I watch it, some of it, because obviously I went and I experienced it. But I do watch it and I see, you know, how these guys are going to move too. And you're absolutely right. Those four corners that you mentioned, we'll take any one of them. All of them, in my opinion, when we look at them, all of them have first-round grades. One thing about the Gonzalez kid, he's a taller kid, tremendous ball skills, tremendous instincts. Joey Porter Jr. has got this length about him and his speed, and he's got his dad's tenacity. I think that any one of those guys that just happened to drop, and as you know, Dave, in this draft every year, some teams, players just drop just for whatever reason. The first corner doesn't go until the 12th pick, something like that. So we're hoping that I'm hoping that they can get another corner. I think that it's a passing league, and you can't have too many corners. I think last year we found out that when you're short on corners, you run into a problem. That's why we had Dax Hill outside last year, because we didn't have any corners to put out there. So they're going to have to see, and in my opinion, draft one, draft the early one, draft the late one, sign a free agent, and then try to see if you can shore up that position, because it's sort of that important that we get that part of it done. And I think that, again, this is a year that there's going to be a lot of corners, even though the top-notch corner is going to be gone. I think there's going to be some second and third-round corners that you can get, bring in, develop. And they're going to need that anyway. They're going to need some depth at that position.
Let's talk a little bit about the safety position, kind of in the same regard. I mean, maybe there won't be a safety that you want to necessarily grab in the first round. I mean, guys like Antonio Branch from Alabama, Brian Branch, Antonio Johnson from Texas A&M, Jamie Robinson from Florida State might be there in the late first, early second round. J.L. Skinner. This kid's 6'4", 220 out of Boise State. I mean, a tight end eraser. I mean, he's an interesting guy. Sidney Brown from Illinois. I mean, Illinois had a hell of a secondary.
They did. I think that, you know, I think what they have to look at is that last year they drafted a safety in the first round in Nashville. Right. It was a later pick, just like it was, just like they have this year. You got to know that in this league and coming out this year, there's going to be some pure safeties that are going to be there available in that second, third round. And, right. and bottom line is that, you know, you have to be able to get you some more depth there. I just have this belief, Dave, that in the new NFL, where the passing is up to 70, 80% in some cases, game in and game out, you cannot minimize the value of having secondary players. And when you don't have them, you realize how important, because you can't get enough pressure to help bad secondary play. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to get more depth at safeties. So I'm expecting that they're going to explore that option. But I think the first option they're going to look is definitely seeing if they can ensure getting them another corner. I think that's that's probably the first and foremost. So even if they're even with the late draft pick, if the corner's there, I gotta believe one of those three or four corners we just talked about, they're gonna make a move at one of those if they're there.
You know, the other thing, ET, is when guys get out there on the free agency market, sometimes they find out the market's a little bit drier than what they thought. You know, and now there are still guys out there, and here comes the draft at the end of the month. And then after the draft, teams go to that secondary free agency market. What didn't we get in the draft that we need? Let's go see the free agency market again. And maybe there are better deals to be had. But the fact is, Cincinnati's still a destination. So when the Bengals come knocking and say, hey, you know what? We'd like you to come, and we're a little bit shorter than we want to be at this position. You fit that bill. How about you come here? Yeah, I'll come to Cincinnati. I mean, they can take advantage of that as well.
They absolutely can. And I think that, you know, and as you know, right before the draft, if teams are calling trying to see if they can set something up, you, as a veteran, you're going to take that call because you know after the draft, the market's a little thinner, the money's a little less. So you're going to be trying to find out where to go. And as you said, Dave, you make a great point. What they're going to be doing, they say, where can I go and win? Where can I go and win at a franchise that's trending up rather than trending down? If you're a veteran player, you don't want to go to the worst team. It's just not where you want to be. If you're a veteran player, you want to go somewhere where there's a legitimate chance to get you a championship ring. And I think that based on what – if you're a player, veteran player, you're looking at what the Bengals have done in terms of their signings, the guys that they're getting, you got to believe that they're still going to be knocking at the door again next year if their offensive line is better. And we know just right now, just on paper, what they did, they're better already. So I agree with it. I think it's going to be a lot of players wanting to come to Cincinnati, right after the draft is over with.
And some of these free agents are signing one-year deals. You know, I'm betting on myself, a one-year deal. And what better place to sign a one-year bet on yourself deal than Cincinnati, where you can go out and win and show part of a winning team. You're going to get noticed, and your contribution is going to get noticed. It's a win-win-win for everybody, you know? If you go sign a one-year deal with a team that's projected to win three games, it's hard to show anything, you know? I mean, it's like
think about Juju Smith, who was with the Steelers. You know, and it was okay with the Steelers, but he leaves there. He goes to Kansas City for a year, goes and tears it up, catches I don't know how many balls for 900 something yards. He gets a free agent deal, signs with another team, and gets big money. And so I think that's what veteran players are looking for, an opportunity to see how can I further my career by coming in someplace, have me a good season for them. And then tell you, I think Irv Smith, the tight end, I think that's why he came here. As an opportunity to see, hey, I got a one-year deal. Let me go turn it up. And then even if he turns it up, if he's let go like Hunter, like Hayden Hurst was, he's going to get paid. So I think the guys are counting on that. And this is, I think, a perfect place to do it.
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, the National Football League is a year-round deal now, man. I mean, every phase of it gets all kinds of attention. You know, free agency, the draft, secondary free agency after the draft, OTAs, mini camps, training camp. I mean, I always find it real fascinating to see how teams are put together. You know, I like to watch the stages of, you're never going to have the same team at the end of the season you had the year before.
That's right.
Good season, bad season, or anything in between. So now it's like, all right, we're going to lose whatever we're going to lose. All right, we have to have plan A, B, C, D, and E. And we're going to be able to pivot. And how are we going to put this team together? And they've done a pretty good job of that the last couple of years, for sure.
You know, they have. And I think that's you know, for the fans, from a fan standpoint, I think that's the one thing that's been super exciting. They've been able to win. And while they've been able to win, they've been able to sustain, maintaining, keeping some of their better players. And I think that they're a young team. So now that they're sort of transitioning into that team that has a little more experience. I mean, Joe Boer's going into his fourth year. T. Higgins is going to his fourth year. You look at some of the veteran players, the linebackers, those guys are starting to get in their fourth, fifth years. These are the years where the experience starts to matter and the money starts to matter too. So while these guys are getting better, their contracts are going to increase, obviously. They're going to have to be able to sustain a certain level of play. And I think that the quarterback leads that because he understands that it's up to me to get my team to play at a high level and play at the same level I am. I know I'm just echoing what a lot of people believe, but, you know, watching this league, it's so quarterback driven. And for years and years and years, you watch the Tom Brady's, You watch the Aaron Rodgers. You watch the Ben Roethlisbergers and how they went about leading their franchises to victory week in and week out. And going into games, knowing that if he's under center, we know we have a shot to win.
Yep.
I mean, it's just it's a lovely feeling. And I think that the Bengals fans should understand this and how they're feeling. This is how teams with those great quarterbacks have felt. And they know they got them for 10, 15 years or so. That comfort level of saying, hey, we're going to be good just because our quarterback is going to bring his game and he'll raise the level of everyone else. It's a beautiful thing. And I thank Joe Burrow for that because, you know, he's come in with the right attitude. A lot of people frowned about it. He's going to come to the Bengals. But what he just come here, he's embraced being a Bengal. He's embraced being a kid from Ohio. And to me, I think he likes the challenge of saying, I'm going to lift everybody. I'm going to lift everyone up. Yeah. That's what greatness does, though. Greatness is willing to do that because it's a heavy burden, Dave, as you know. When you want to take on the lead of everything, you want to be the man and the top dog, it's heavy because everyone's on your back. And you got to be willing to be strong enough in good times and in bad times to be able to step up and say, hey, we didn't get it done this time, but we're not discouraged by where we're going. And I think that the luxury of having a quarterback like this, because in my opinion, and this is no knock on any other quarterbacks, we've never had one. We've never had one like this. I think Boomer was great. Boomer was great for us. I know that. Right. I think Carson Palmer talented to the roof. He had all the tools. I think Andy Dalton was good. Had a lot of good things. Kenny Anderson, you know, you great played player. With Kenny. I mean, all yep. these quarterbacks had great things about them, but I don't know if any of them had what Joe Burrow has. And that's a certain moxie about him knowing that I'm going to be successful and no one's going to stop me. And I don't care what anyone says or does. That's a Tom Brady type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, that because he's willing to say, look, I'm going to put in all the work and I bet right. you it works. I know it's going to work, you know, feel pretty lucky.
I hear you. I mean, I think I look at him and he's a great example of earned confidence, man.
That's right.
I mean, you right. put in the work you've done what it takes and you know, you're ready. You know, you're that's good. Right. You know, you're going to get it. It's an earned right. confidence, you know, and the other thing is Paycor Stadium has become a tough place to play. I mean, yes, it's yeah. a destination, man. It's an event. I mean, a Bengals game at Paycor Stadium is a big time event, and the fans are just off. The Bengals have a great, unbelievable home record over the last couple of years, and that's what it's all about. Knowing that, yeah, now we go on the road, we know what it's like. Now somebody have to come in here and deal with all this adversity. That's great.
And the funny thing, they're a fantastic road team.
Yeah, they are.
A road team. And yep. I'll tell you, you know, we myself, Solomon, and David Fulcher did the Ruler of the Jungle thing before the Buffalo game. And, you know, we had all been down to games, obviously, over the last couple of years. I can tell you unequivocally, I had never seen that. That crowd,
yeah,
the atmosphere. It was weird almost because it's almost like you weren't in Cincinnati. It was crazy. I mean, you know, because the fans here, you know, when we've gotten excited, it's been a sort of a lukewarm excitement, you know, Van?
Right.
Because you're not sure about what's going to happen. You know, yeah. we're okay, but I, you know, but this was different. The confidence level of the fans, the team at that time going to play Buffalo, the energy level of the stadium. Even during our time, the only time I ever felt that was the AFC Championship game when Buffalo came here.
Yeah.
That was the only other time I had seen that type of energy. But the Buffalo game, it was amazing. It gave you a glimpse into what the fans are feeling about where this franchise might be going right now. And then they followed us up with what I think a really, really solid free agent season. We're going to see more games like the atmosphere that Buffalo game gave us. I guarantee you that.
I agree 100,000%. I did honored to do the Ruler of Jungle one game too. And E.T. and Solly who else did you have out there?
David Fulcher.
You guys out there. Was the hair on the back of your neck standing up, E.T.? Mine was like standing up on the back of my neck, man.
Man, I am hairless on my neck. And the hair was standing up on my neck. Dave, I'm telling you, man, I told David when we got there, I said, I looked at those guys, I said,
I know.
The liveliest thing we've ever done in a long time. It was fantastic. And that's just something I think they're just going to have to continue to do, continue to build, continue to engage the fans and get the fans involved, because ultimately you're going to win at home, particularly because the fans overwhelm the other team. And I think that whole jungle thing's coming back, and it's good to see, man. I'm excited about what's upcoming.
I remember seeing you guys before you went up there to do that Rule of the Jungle down there in the stadium. And man, that was a heck of a day. I'll tell you what, E.T., you are the best. I can't thank you enough for giving us all the time you gave us. You've been more than generous with your time. But I could talk football with you for hours, maybe even days.
You know I could. Because you're a football guy, Dave. And, you know, the fact of the matter is when you watch football just like I do, you look for all the, you know, you have to critique the game a little more than I do. I just sit back and watch. But, you know, you see all these things that are happening during the game, and they're the kind of things that you can only relate to what's happening from being the next player.
Right.
You get a feeling when you're watching the game, you can see what they're doing, and this little things, but they're big in terms of how the success or the failures that they're having. And I think that, you know, for anytime I get a chance to sit down and talk ball with you, man, you know, we do it up. I appreciate
you. You're the best. You are the best, E.T. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. Have the best day you ever had, my man.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Lap.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard, like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.